Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Meseches Moed Katan has been dedicated Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara relates the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua as to when exactly is the onset of Avelus. That Rabbi Eliezer held that as soon as the mace is taken out of the Pesach Beso, then the Avelim begin to be Misabel. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua held that it's only Mishas Stimas Agelo. And the Gemara relates a story that when Gamliel HaZakein died, there was a machlokes in the Talmidim as to when they begin the Avelos. And it's clear in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehoshua's time of Stimas Agelo comes after the time of Rabbi Eliezer, who said that the Avelos only begins at the Shas Yitzias Hames. Now we know that all of Rishas, there's a wide machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim as to what the definition of a golel is. And our sugya is very relevant as to the definition as to determining exactly the beginning point of Avelus. The question of what a golel is not only relevant for this question as to when Avelus begins, there are other halachos which are in Ogele Maisa as well, which are dependent upon what exactly Stimas HaGolel is. For example, it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Shinayin Gimel Sivav, based on Maseches Machos, that a kohen can only be metame to his relative to take care of the burial only until the Stimas HaGolel. After that, it's usher for him to be metame. So we need to know exactly what Stimas HaGolel is. And as well, there are certain halachos with regard to Pinoy HaKfarim, when there's a need to reinter a mace. There are certain halachos which are dependent upon when exactly the Stimas HaGolel is, as well as when the Avelus starts, in the event of Likud Atzamos and other eventualities like that. Therefore, it is important for many halachos to know when exactly Stimas HaGolel is. So we know that Rashi, all of Rishas, in many places, in Masechta Shabbos, in Ksubis, in Chulin, and elsewhere, tells us that the Golel is the Kisei Ha'aron. It's the cover on the coffin. And the simple pshat in Rashi would lead us to say that even if the coffin is above ground and has not been bechlal had a kvura done on it at all, the moment that there's a cover put on the coffin, that's Stimas HaGolel, and one begins Avelus, and all halachas of Stimas HaGolel follow according to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. However, Tosfos asks a series of questions on Rashi, and instead Tosfos brings the opinion of Ben Rutam, who says that Golel is not the kise of the Aron, but it is either the kisei of the kever, it is when the grave itself has been covered, or it is when they put a matzeva up, they put a tzion up, some kind of even, which was put on top of the kever in order to be mitzayin that there's a kever there. This is also a version of Ritter time quoted in the many Rishonim. One of those two points in time, that's considered the Stimas HaGolel. Now, the Rishonim ask on Rashi from our sugya, that in our sugya's mevor, that Rabbi Yeshua's time, as we mentioned, is later than the time of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua's time of Stimas HaGolel comes after the time of Yitzias, Yitzia Pesach Beso. Rishonim ask, if according to Rashi, the Stimas HaGolel already occurs when the coffin is covered, the Stimas Kisei HaAron, so why is it necessarily true that Rabbi Eliezer's time was later? Perhaps they put the Kisei, and this is probable, they put a Kisei on the kever of Rabbi, on the Aron of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken before they took it out of the house, in which case Rabbi Yeshua's time would have preceded Rabbi Eliezer's time, and it's informed the Gemara. It's not the case that Rabbi Yeshua's time came later. So the truth is that Orzerua in Simon Tov Chav Dalad and the Shach as well in Simon Shinayin Gimel learn in Rashi, they're actually coming to address other questions, but they learn Rashi does not mean without the Aron having been nikbar, at least having been in the ground, is enough. The old Rashi agrees that there has to have been some kind of kfura done on the Aron. The Aron can't be in transit when the kisei is put on it for us to consider it Stimas HaGolel. The Aron certainly has to be nikbar. It's just that you don't need to fill up the entire kever to put the offer until the ground level and fill the whole kever in order to we consider Stimas HaGolel. It's enough if you cover the Aron. Once you put a cover on the Aron on its own, that's already enough for Rashi to have considered Stimas HaGolel. So then we understand, certainly the Rabbi Yeshua's Stimas HaGolel requires there to have been the beginnings of a kvura, that the Aron is in the ground. Only at that point would Rabbi Yeshua consider it to be a Stimas HaGolel. That's the Orzerua and the Shach's Shita. But the Ramban, Metros Adam, and as well the Boim Acharov, the Ritva and the Ran, here as well, they learn that no, the Rashi is to be taken in a literal sense, that the Kisei Ha'aron, even if it's the Aron is exposed, the coffin has not at all been placed in the ground, already is considered Simas Agol, and that would begin the Avelis. But they make an important Tanai. First of all, they say that as far as the Kash from Arsugya, that it's mashma that Rabbi Eliezer's time preceded the time of Rabbi Yeshua with regard to the Kfura of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. It could be that they took Rabbi Gamliel in a mita, and not in an Aron. They took Rabbi Gamliel out on a stretcher or a gurney, and not in an Aron. There was no cover on the mita, and hence there was no gola put on at all until it left the house. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer's time preceded the time of Rabbi Yeshua. That's a possibility. But the Ramban adds on that the truth is that even if there was a kisi put on, even if there had been a coffin and there was some kisi put on, but not every kisi aron, according to Rashi, is going to constitute simas agolo. The Ramban writes that it's only mishal sheyistam emasmerim al menas shelo yiftach od. That which Rashi means that simas agolo is the kisi haaron is covering the coffin. It's only if the covering of the coffin is permanent. It's forever. There is never going to be an opening up of this coffin again. And perhaps Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken's Aron was not like that. Perhaps they were going to take him out to bury him without an Aron, or to take him out for other reasons. Rav says sometimes they would take the mace out to show it to the Karov, who came Mimakam Acher, to show him the mace. But so long as there hadn't been a Stima Sagol that was going to be permanent, Rashi would not hold this constitutes Stima Sagola. Now Ramban adds, and why should this be? What's the lumdus in Rashi that it's telling whether the Aron is kase with the Gerlil in a permanent fashion or not? He says, Sharei nase etzlam kemunach bekeder, that if the masmerim have been nailed in and the coffin has been shut forever, so then it already has the status of munach bekeder. It already has the status of if it has been put in the grave. Now this opens up the yesod, and we'll show this in other places as well, that the idea of Tchilas Avelis that our sugya depends on, at least Lefi Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, and even perhaps somewhat Lefi Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, is that the mace should be put in a place where you will never see him again. The Histalkos HaMeis Min HaOlam, either in the Kever Mamish, where the covering of the Kever is done, according to Rabbeinu Tam in his Shita, or even according to Rashi, and even according to Ramban, that it's a coffin which is outside of the kever, which can have stima segol on it, but it's in a way that the mace is gone forever. The mace is already kemunach bekever. The mace is already like it's a stalak min ha'olam. That is the onset of avelis. Avelis will never start when the avel is still has connection, still has shaychus to the mace. The mace is still here, and he's being metapel with the mace. As long as once the mace is in stalak min ha'olam, then the onset of avelis can come along. And the truth is that the Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer Yashar is also mashma this way. And that is in the Sefer Yashar and Siman Yud Zayin, the Rabbeinu Tam writes that the Pshat Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, that Avelus begins with Shista Magolel, is She'ein Chal Olav Avelus Ad Sheyasu Kol Tzarkei HaMeis. That once all the Tzarkei HaMeis have been taken care of, until the very last point that the mace is nothing to be done for him because he's in the ground, he's buried, and you've even put up a Va'osin Heker, and you've even put up a Matzeva for him, you've covered the grave completely, so then all Tzarkei HaMeis are done. Then Rabbi Yeshua says that Avelus can begin. So long as you're still involved with the mace, you can't begin to misalba properly. Once the Kol Tzarkei HaMeis are done and the mace is gone, mace is away from you, then the Avel can begin his Kfura. His Avelis. And it could be even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to this somewhat. It's Rabbi Eliezer held that once the mace is out of the house, it's already enough for us to say that the Avel has been mistalik from the Nifter. That there's some disconnect that's been created between them that he's taken out of the house, and now he can already begin the Avelis. And interestingly, even the Karen Ora is Medayik in our Sugya, that the Gemara only discusses the Kfiyas Amitos. He says that Rabbi Eliezer told him kvar kafinu al pi zaken, that we already kofe the mitos al pi Rabbi Eliezer shita of yitzias hameis mi pesach beso. Kernor's medayik, why they discuss only kfiyas hamitos? Why don't they discuss all the other nehugi avelos? The truth is, it's not such a diak. We find many places, even on our Amud later, the Gemara refers to all of nehugi avelos with the term kfiyas hamitos. It seems to be a symbol for nehugi avelos, kfiyas hamita. The Gemara in Daf Chaf as well, we had talked about if a person is noeg lefnei haregel kfiyas hamita, so then the regel can be mevatel avelos. That seems to be the byword for all nehugi avelos is kfiyas hamita, and there are reasons for that. But in any event, the Keren Ora is medayik that the Gemara only discusses Kfiyas Amitas, and he says the reason is that Rabbi Eliezer only held that Kfiyas Amita begins once the Avel is out of the Pesach Beso, because then the Avel is out of the house. Excuse me, the mace is out of the house, and since the mace is out of the house, so the house has disconnected itself from the mace, and therefore the Nihugi Avelis that leave their mark on the house, namely the Kfiyas Hamita in the house, has to begin. But all the Nihuga Avelis which relate to the person of the Avel himself, like the Nilas HaSandal and the Ativas HaRosh and things like that, those don't start. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't argue in Rabbi Yeshua, but with regard to that, only with regard to Kfiyas Hamita and nothing else. As we've shown him before, not like the Keren Ora, but in any event, we see that Yisod, that the siluk of the mace from the Avel, or from the property of the Avel, from having to do with the Avol doing, taking care of its tzrachim, that is what generates the onset of the Avelis. Now, with his understanding of why Stimus HaGolel is that which activates the Tchilas Avelis, we can understand, L'chor, it seems to be a stira on the Rosh and a stira on the Shulchan Aruch. The Rosh, in the end of Simon Vav, brings a story that Rabbeinu Klonimus HaZaken died at a time when the city he was in was besieged by Goyim. And it wasn't clear that they'd be able to take the corpse out to do the kvura. So what they decided to do, is to put Rabbi Klonimus's guf in an aron, in a house, and close up the house. And they didn't have any plan necessarily to be mefanet from there, to remove it from there, certainly not in the near future. And they were hoping to wait and see when the siege would end, they'd be able to be mefanet him later on. But there wasn't any particular plan, any particular timetable for being mefane Rabbi Klonimus. And the Rosh is mavur that since there was no time decided as to when they're being mefane him, so they can already begin the Avelis, because they had Stimas Golol HaRishon. He had already proved earlier from the Yerushalmi that we begin, in such a situation where there is no plan to reinter a mace within the Shiva, you begin the Shiva already from the Stimas Golol HaRishon. And that's why in that case they were able to start the Avelis and Rabbi Klonimus HaZaken from the Stimas Golol HaRishon. Now this is presents a big problem, because the Rosh earlier in Simon Lamed Tes quotes the Machlokas, the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam, as the definition of Golol, and he seems to agree with Rabbeinu Tam that Golol refers to the Tzion on the Kever, or Kisui of the Kever, but not a Kisui of the Aron like Rashi. Now in this story of Rabbi Klonimus Pashtus, all they had was a Stimas HaAron, that there was a coffin there with Rabbi Klonimus' body, and they covered it up, but that was it. There was no Kfura, no formal Kfura done that would have generated a Din Golol according to Rabbeinu Tam. So in Cain, we have a steer in the Rosh as to whether the Stimas HaGolel is the covering of the kever or the covering of the coffin. And the same steer is in Shulchan Aruch. And the Bach asks this question in Shulchan Aruch. And because of this, it's Terech, Siya, Machrishtik, Abshan, Shulchan Aruch. Then in Simon, Shinayin, Hey, in Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim that the Golel is covering up the kever with Afar. Whereas in Sif Dalet, he brings a story of Rabbeinu Klonimus HaZaken, and he passes it the way it is, the way the Rosh says it, that's called Stimas HaGolel, that the Stimas HaAron seems to be like a Stimas HaGolel that creates Avelis. So the Bach, in fact, puts this question, says that really, in essence, we pass like Rashi. That's the story with Rabbeinu Klonimus, just that Shulchan Aruch brought the Shita Rabbeinu Tam as a Chumrah, that you shouldn't start Avelis, the Chumrah, until you have the offer on top of the kever. But in essence, really, Avelis can begin from Stimas HaAron, which is a chiddush that he would pass on like Rashi. It's a miyat deya in the Rishon, and most Rishonim agree with the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Beis Yosef and the Shachar flitches out much more. Their mashma, the pshat is that because in this case of Rabbeinu Klonimus, it wasn't clear they would be able to bury him at all. It was possible they would leave him here in this Aron with the cover on it forever, and this would be his kvura, shamaya kvurasa shrabi klonimus. So in essence, that Stimas HaGolel had the status of a kever. And it makes a lot of sense, because as far as they're concerned, they're misyayish, they had a strong possibility that this would be the last time they'd have what to do with Rabbeinu Klonimus. There was no definite plan to have any other dealings with Rabbeinu Klonimus. It was possible to be a kvura. And the Shach says, in that case, it's like being misyayish milakovro, and it has the status of a Stimas HaGolel. And we understand it very well based on what we said, that Stimas HaGolel isn't a literal, a formal covering over of a grave. In this case, it was not a grave. All it is a way of making sure, of cementing in our minds, that there will be no other dealings with the mace. In the case of Rabbeinu Klonimus, because there was no plan necessarily to take him anywhere other than this Aron in the house, it was very possible that would be his kfura. So that was his kfura. That is called the Stimas HaGolel. Even if you're in the time, that Golel normally means covering over the mace with the, excuse me, the grave with the ofar. But in this case, where it was a kfura that was, it was possible this kfura would be the only kfura he would have. So that was the kfura. And the kfura really is what creates the onset of the avelas, as we explained. So one more nekuda with regards to the machlokas, the Rashi Minu Tam, as to definition of golel. One of the questions that Tosis and other Masechtos asks on Rashi is that we find the sugya in Erevin and Sukkah discusses what's the halacha of you make a golel out of balei chayim. Does it have the status of a golel or not? Lagabi tumah. So Tosis asks on Rashi, it's not a mitziuti. It's not davar hamotzei, davar hashchiach, that we should take a bal chay and use it as a cover of a coffin. Bishlam, if it means a tzion, like a matzeva, or even covering up a grave. He says sometimes we find, on a temporary basis at least, that they would take a bal chay and leave it there as a tzion, just to show that this is a kever here, for it they can get it something more formal as a matzeva. But to put it on top of a coffin, that we're sure we never have. So, and because of this kasha l'docha Rashi. So the Orzarua, there in Siman Tavkof Dalet, Tosis writing Subas is Maramis to this in one line, says that you're right, it's true, that this is something that Shulhayev lo nivra. But the Gemara will oftentimes ask questions and pose shailas in regards to halachos that really could never be. And the Gemara is not necessarily trying to find out the halach lamaisa from this case, but the Gemara is doing it because of drosh v'kalbal schar. Now, the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh in Parshas Chukas, in this pasuk of Golel, explains a little bit more and elaborates what they mean. And he says an incredible yesod that really everyone who learns Gemara should know. The Maharal writes, "Kasher neida hilchas davar echad, nucha lamar al mahuso, ve'ein safek shehilchosav nimshachim achar atzmo." That Chazal knew that the halachos of a certain din, that the ramifications and the consequences and the cases that we can come up with, which demonstrate the nature of a din, speak about its essence, or mamidano al mahuso, can show us what the essence was. And Chazal chose cases, even of things that could never happen, it could never be, but these things would allow us to flesh out and highlight that which the Chazal want us to find out about the essence of the halacha, the essence of the din. And he writes in the Hemshech, "Ki halacha sheyesh la mitzvah ma'midin es ha'odnam al ikar mahus ha'mitzvah." That the halachos that Chazal developed for us and told us about a mitzvah, they allow us to penetrate as to what the essence of the mitzvah really is. And that is why Chazal often will tell us cases, not because we want to know what the halacha is in these far cases which could not possibly be. But the pshat and drosh v'kabel schar is that when you're a dorish, when you examine and analyze and evaluate every possible circumstance and consequence of the halacha, and every possible tzad, even something that never happened that you could think of, as to what this shaila could lead to, then makabel schar, then you can get to what the ikr of the mitzvah is, the ikr of the halacha is, and the omer ikr tam ha-mitzvah, that which Rabbeinu Shalom wanted. This is a possibility in Rashi as to why the Gemara asked the case of a golel that was not mitzioti, that was not particularly shchiach, because it wanted to show us about something about the essence of what a golel is. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Yashan al gabi kisei, al gabi odaini, gedola al gabi karka, if the avel sleeps on a chair or on a bench or even on the floor, he has not been yotze his chiyuv. And Rabbi Yochanan explains it means he has not been mekayim the mitzvah of kfiyas amita. Now, there is shown a debate here. What does it mean that he has not been mekayim the mitzvah of kfiyas amita when he is yoshein al gabi kisei or gabi karka? The opinion of most of the Rishonim is that the sleeping does not actually have to be done on the mita hakafuya. And what the Gemara here is saying is that if the avel decides that he wants to be machmir, and instead of being kofes mitos, to sleep on the floor or in some other uncomfortable position on some other uncomfortable surface, but keep his mitos as a kufos, keep his mitos unturned, he's not been mekayim the mitzvah, lo yotze dechavoso. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, shelo kiyam kviyas hamita. The mitzvah is not to change one's sleeping position. The mitzvah is to be kofer the mitos, like the Gemara earlier explained by Richas, which mitos one has to do. All the mitos he owns, even in Sarabatim, he has to be kofer all his mitos, and that's the mitzvah. There might be another halacha that the avel may not sit or sleep on a regular chair, which is not close to the ground, which is completely separate halacha. Tosis makes reference to that halacha in Divra Maschil Min HaMincha L'mala, that he's medayik from the Gemara, that the Gemara says that on Erev Shabbos, the Avil can be zokif the mitos from Mincha, but he may not sit on them until the evening. Tosa says, you see from there that he may not sit on a regular chair, right, or a regular couch. And we'll see Mitzvah Hashem later in the Masechta as well. There's a makor for this, according to some Rishonim in Girsa they have in the Gemara later on, that says the Avil must sit on the ground. But that's a separate halacha of that the Avil may not sit on a surface which is not close to the ground. Our halacha is halacha kfiyas hamita, and the Rishonim learned that here, all our Gemara is saying here is that the Avil can sleep wherever he chooses so long as he's not sleeping on a regular surface. And it's a separate mitzvah he must do of kfiyas hamita. He has to be kofal his mitos, and the two, his sleeping position and arrangement and his position of his mitos, have absolutely nothing to do with each other. However, the opinion of the Rambam, and we've touched on this before, is that no, that there are two components to the Avil being mekayim the mitzvah of kfiyas hamita. One is that he must be kofal all the mitos he owns, like all the Rishonim understood, and that's what Aral HaSugya has discussed. But then the Rambam says the Avil must also sleep upon that mitah kfuya. That's what Ar Gemara means, that even if the Avil had been kofal his mitos, but then he goes ahead and sleeps on the kisei or on the karka, he hasn't been yotzi the mitzvah of kfiyas hamita. Rabbi Yochanan says, shalok kiyam kfiyas hamita, dainu, he hasn't slept upon the mitzvah he was kofa. And that's the way the Avil is in mekayim the mitzvah of kfiyas hamita, with the two components of A, being kofa the mitos, and B, being making sure to sleep on one of the mitos hakafuyos. Now, the root of this machlokas, as the Ramban and Toras Adam and the Meiri and Ar Sugya as well point out, seems to be in the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi, at one point, in discussing the sugya of kfiyas hamitos, says that mikan shal yushenim al mitos kfiyos. It says that proves in a pasuk that there's a mitzvah to be yoshen on the mitah kfuya, which of course would seem to be in line with the opinion of the Rambam, because according to most Rishonim, as we explained, there's no need b'chlat to sleep on the mitah kfuya. There's perhaps an iser to sleep on a place which is not close to the ground, but the mitzvah mitah kfuya is not speak about the place that the Avil sleeps, but rather simply the mitzvah to be kofal of the mitos. However, as Ramban points out, the continuation of the Yerushalmi, we seem to indicate not like this, because the Yerushalmi says, Amar eini kofal es hamita, hareini yoshein al gabi hasafsal, ein shaman lo. If the Avil says, I do not want to be kofal the mitah, I want to instead sleep on the safsal, then he has not been yotzei the mitzvah. Bivnesha Omar eini kofei samita, because he has said he's not kofei the mitzvah. Avom Omar eini kofei samita shomer lo. But so long as he says I'm kofei the mitzvah, then seemingly the Ramban says, even if he's then yoshein al gabi hasafsal, in other words, he is not sleeping on the mitzvah he was kofei, then it's okay. He's yotzei the mitzvah, and this the Ramban proves is the maskara of the Yerushalmi, and that's how he knows that the Ramban is wrong. The kfiyas hamita and the makam shena of the avel are unlinked. Now, one of the big inconsistencies in the Rambam, which already the Nosei Kelim are omed on, is that the Rambam we read earlier in Perek He, Halacha Yidches, indicates the Pashtas, as all the halachas in Perek He seem to be, applies the mitzvah of Kfiyas Hamita to all the 7 days of the Avelus. The Rambam starts off, beginning of Perek He, Eilu Dvarim Sha'avol Osrehem Yom Arishem and HaTorah V'Shar HaYomim Yimei HaEvel Midivrehem, and he makes a list of all the Nihugi Avelus, and one of them is the Isser to be Zokev Esamita. So it seems very clear from the Rambam that the mitzvah of Kfiyas Hamita has to be noeg all the 7 days of the Avelus, and the Rambam says, as we read earlier, that the way one is Mekayem mitzvah Kfiyas Hamita is through sleeping on the Mitah Kfuya. The problem is, and this is Stira, which is asked in the Rambam, is that the Rambam at the end of Perek Dalad, Havilchus Avel, says that on the first day of the Avelus, the Avel is Chayiv Leshev al Mita Kfuya. And the Rambam goes down, Uvishar Yimei Ha'avel, Ha'avel, Mutu Lo Leshev al Gabi Mapots, O Karka. That the Avel must only sit, there's a mitzvah or a chiyav for the Avel to sit on a Mita Kfuya only on the first day. But all the balance of the Yimei Ha'avel, all the balance of the Shiva, he need not sit on Mitah Kfuya. He can even sit on the floor if he chooses, or some other service, a mapatz, a mat. So it seems as a stir in the Rambam whether or not the mitzvah of Mitah Kfuya entails sitting on the Mitah Kfuya throughout all the 7 days of the Shiva, as he indicates in Perek He, or no, only sitting on the Mitah Kfuya for the first day, and the other days he may choose to sit where he wants, even on the floor or somewhere else, but not necessarily on the Mitah Kfuya. So there's a piece in the Brisker Rav, in the Sefer on the Rambam, where he addresses this question. And he's miyased in the name of his father, Chaim Brisker, that the Rambam understood there are two components, or two elements to the mitzvah of Kfiyas Amita. One is what he calls Kumbasei, and what he calls a Din Isura. In other words, most of the Nihuga Avelos, as the Rambam describes them in the beginning of Parakeh, are Isurim. Elud Varam Sha'avel Asur Behen Yom HaRishon, Uve Sharimas Sheva Simi Ha'evel Medivrein, that the Nihuga Avelos are things that Avel may not do. One of the things he may not do is Lizkov Es HaMita, is to keep the Mita straight up, and hence he must, obviously, in order to avoid violating this Isser of Kfiyas HaMita, he must be Kofi his Mitas. That's one component of the Mitzvah Kfiyas HaMita. There's another component, however, which is a Chovas Kiyam, a Kumba Asay, that the Aval needs to be Mekayim through an action, the Inyan of Kfiyas HaMita, and to do that, he needs to sleep or sit upon the Mita that he was Kofi, the Mita that he overturned. Now, even though both these components are present in the mitzvah of Kfiyas HaMita, the Mishkarev says, l'chor, it's obvious that the time frame within which one is mekayim these two inyanim is different. And that is that the first inyan, the din isura, is like all the other inyanim, same way an avil may not launder, may not take a haircut, may not attach a shamita, etc., through the days of all the days of Shiva. So similarly, he may not be zokiv es hamita through all the days of the Shiva. That is unchanging. However, the Kumba Asay element of Kfiyas HaMita, that the Avel is Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kfiyas HaMita by sitting on Mita Kfuya, he says, Ilchor, it's obvious that he need not do that all the time. Ilchor HaVadeh De'ein Sarach Leishiv Tomid Al Mita Kfuya. Rakol She Yoshev Aleha Kaparim HaMachas Sagi Ba'achi U'Mekayim Adin Kfiyas HaMita. In order to be Mekayim, the Kumba Asay component of the mitzvah of Kfiyas HaMita, it is sufficient if one time through the days of the Shiva, the Avel sits upon the Mita Kfuya. Since this is obvious as a Brizkarov, now we can understand the Peshra Davar between the Rambam and Perek Dalad. It seemed to indicate that the Avel must only sit on Mita Kfuya on the first day, but on the remaining days he need not. Whereas in Perek Hei, he seems to indicate that the Avel may not sleep anywhere other than Mita Kfuya all the 7 days. And that is that the Rambam and Perek Dalad is discussing the first day of Avelis, which, according to the Rambam's opinion, is Daraisa, as the Rambam clearly indicates here in Perek Hei and other places in Lechaz Avel, that the first day of Avelis is Daraisa. And if he waits to be Mekayim, the mitzvah, the Kumba Asay component of Kfiyas HaMita, for the remaining days of the Shiva, and he misses the first day, then he'll miss the mitzvah daraisa of Kfiyas HaMita. And therefore the Rambam wrote in Perek Dalet, when he's discussing the first day, that the Avel must sit on the first day on the mita Kfuya, and then he'll be Mekayim the din daraisa, the din Torah of Kfiyas HaMita with all its components, and the first day when it's daraisa, that, and if the Avel does that, then the Rambam says in Perek Dalet that in the event that he had already sat the first day on the mita Kfuya, the day when it was derived. So then, the truth is, he need not sit on the mita for the remaining days of the Avelis, because he's already been mekayim the Kumba Asay element of the Kfiyas HaMita by having sat on it on the first day. However, since the Kumba Asay component of the mitzvah Kfiyas HaMita need not necessarily be mekayim on the first day, if a person missed it on the first day, true, he was not mekayim the mitzvah deraisa, but he'll still have a mitzvah derabanan to do Kfiyas HaMita. And there's no particular time in which he need do that Kumba Asay component of the mitzvah, but he has to do it at some point during the Shivas Me'avelis. So therefore the Rambam in Perek Hei, when he's discussing the remaining days of the Shiva, or the entirety of the Shivas Yimei Ha'Avel, he didn't give a Zman Mesuyam as to when the Avel needs to sit on the mita. All the Rambam meant to say is that the Avel needs at one point to sleep on the mita Kfuya. So long as he sleeps even once on the mita Kfuya, then he's been Mekayim, the Kumba Asay element of the mitzvah Kfiyas HaMita. But the Rambam didn't tell us when that needs to be, because the truth is there is no particular time once he's missed the first day that it needs to be. It can be at any time, so long as once he's Mekayim the mitzvah of Kfiyas HaMita by sleeping on the mitzvah Kfuya, then he's done what he needs to do. And for the rest of the time, he can leave his mitzvah Kfuya to sleep where he wants. But there's no particular time which was linked to that mitzvah, and that's why the Rambam gives you no indication of the limitation on the time of the time in which the Avel must be sleeping on the Mita Kfuya in Perek Hei. Now, the simple reading of the Rambam would seem that the stimulus is not like the risker of Chiddush, because if you read the Halravim Perek Hei simply, he doesn't seem to be mashma that it's enough if one sleeps on the mitzvah kfuya once. The Rambam says that if the avil was kofel his mitos, but he did not sleep on the mitzvah, he's not yotzei chavoso. Elo yishen al gabi mitzvah kfuya. The Rambam is mashma. He always has to sleep on the mitzvah kfuya. It's not sufficient just one time to sleep on the mitzvah kfuya. So we can suggest a different mahalach in the Rambam, and the truth is this mahalach is already merumas to in the Radvaz over here in Perakei Loch Yirches, and already the Torah and the Prisha, other Nosei Kelim, Simen Shin Pei Zayin, Yeredeya, indicate such a chilek in the Rambam, and I found Oswell in the Meiri, here in the Afchav Zayin, as well takes on such a mahalach, and that is, if you're medayik the Rambam carefully, the Rambam in Perak Dalid discusses yeshiva, sitting. The Rambam says, v'chayv leishev amitah kfuya, and that's on the first day. And then the rest of the days, he says, mutar l'avil leishev agabi hamatpas agabi hakarka. In Perkei, however, the Rambam does not discuss yeshiva. He discusses shena, sleeping. He says, havach kol mitos, like our Gemara says, havach kol mitosav, v'ayahu yashen agabi mitos acherev, agabi kisei, agabi aron, agabi karka, liyosei chavaso, ele yishan agabi mitah kfuya. The other must be sleeping on mitah kfuya. And hence, the simple chilek in the Rambam would be, are we discussing sitting, or are we discussing sleeping? The Hainu, that the Avel may sit on any surface he desires, again, something which is considered karka, or some chilek karka, he may not sit on a regular chair, but he does not need to sit on the mitah kfuya, other than on the first day. Whereas for Shena, for sleeping, he must always be sleeping through the Yimei HaShiva. Whenever he sleeps, he also always must sleep on the mitah hakfuya. As Tos already points out, in Divrei Maschil Min HaMinchah L'Maala that we mentioned earlier, that we don't find anywhere the inyan of kfiya on kisaos or on safsalim, only on mitos. And that is supportive of what the Rambam says, that the makom yeshiva, a chair or a bench, which is the place people sit, we don't find kfiyas mita ever mentioned. We only find about mitos. And therefore the Rambam held that be'etzem, there is no inyan to sit on a mita kfiya. The oval may not sit on something which is not on the karka, but he need not sit on a place which is kafui. Except for the first day, there's a special inyan, and there he takes the mita, which is really meant for sleeping, and he sits on it. On the first day, that's a special mitzvah. What is the svarati mechalak between sitting and sleeping? So we could explain this in many ways. One simple way we could say is that the oval doesn't really need to sit down the whole time at all. If he wants, he can really stand the entire Yimei HaEvel. Except for the din of the first day, there's a special tzura during the Sudas Havra, as we mentioned earlier, in Daf Chav Hei, and we see it in the Gemara as well, Daf Chav Vav, there's a special tzura that the Ovel needs to be sitting during the Sudas Havra, when he's giving the Havra, and they're menachem him during the Havra. So the tzura is that he should be sitting to receive that tzura. And since he needs to be sitting down, so then in Echanami, the Rambam is mechayiv him at that point to be sit on the mitah kfuya. But the truth is, the rest of the time, if he wants, he can stand. He doesn't really need to sit, and therefore, there is no particular way that we dictate to him upon what he needs to sit. It just said, if he wants to sit, he can't sit on something which is not on the aretz. But to say that he's mechuyit to sit on the mitah kfuya, we don't have mashenkei and shena. It is certain that the Avil will need to sleep during the Me'ah Shiva at some point. And therefore, since it was something which is the Avil is going to have the experience during the Me'ah Evil, during the Me'ah Shiva, so we gave him a mitzvah and dictated to him exactly how he needs to be Yoshin. He needs to be Yoshin on a Mita HaKfuya. And we can add on the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi adds, what's the whole inyan of Mita HaKfuya? Why is that one of the Nehu Gavelis? So Yushalmi has several possibilities. One of the possibilities of Shami says is if Nehu Yoshin al Mita Kfuya, Kadeshe Neir Balaila Vinizkar Shu Avel, or Shu Mitok Shu Yoshin al Gabi Mita Kfuya, who Neir Balaila Vinizkar Shu Avel, that when he's up at night, the Mita Kfuya will remind him that he's an Avel, or the Mita Kfuya will keep him up at night and remind him he's an Avel. But either way, it seems like there's an inyan that, especially during the nighttime, the Avel should contemplate that he's an Avel, and that is at the time of the when he's sleeping, that the Mita Kfuya will be a reminder to him that that he's an Avel. And that's why the Rambam understood that Dafka during Shena, Dafka during sleeping, the person needs to be on a Mita Kfuya. As well, the Rishami also adds on, is the mankin lishna yichva sarsur, that the bed, which is the makom that a person was conceived, also is nichba, is turned over, and this is kamuvan during the nighttime when the person ostensibly was conceived, and we remind the avel that the neshama, which has left the world, the mace, he was originally conceived on the bed, and now is nichva, the bed has been turned over, just like the person has left the world. And again, this is a reminder of his avela, so there's a clearer connection between the inyan of the avela that the aval should be thinking about and the midik fiyah during the nighttime hours or during the sleeping hours. And that's why during sleep, the Rambam insisted that the aval be upon a midik fiyah. But the rest of the day, when he's sitting, So the avil need not be on a mitzvah kfiyah, just so long as he's not sitting on a place which is not on the karka. There's an interesting halacha lemaisa shayla, which has its roots in a gemara here. And Amar says, Amar b'yichran, hakol chayovim lamod ufnei nasi chutz mi'avil v'choyla. That everyone is required to stand in front of the nasi as a mitzvah of kabod and hidur, except for an avil and for a choyla. Now, the reason for this halacha is not so much supplied in the Rishonim, and the poskim debate the reasoning for this halacha. The Levush in Simen Shin Ayin Vav, in Yeradea, where this halacha is paskind, says that the reason that the Ovel and the Chola are pturim from standing in front of the Nasi is that they're terudin b'tzarason. Their pain, or their discomfort, is tored them, is distracting them from the ability to do the mitzvah of kima for the nasi. Now, the Sefer Shvus Yaakov in a tshuva was asked as to whether the p'tur the Gemara gives during Ovel from the mitzvah of kima b'fnei zakein and b'fnei nasi during his avelus would apply on Tisha B'Av as well. Is one required to stand in front of someone for whom there's a chiv of a kima v'hidur during the avelus yishana of Tisha B'Av? So he begins by quoting the Levush that we mentioned. He said that it would stand to follow that according to the Levush, that the reason that the Ovel is pater from the mitzvah of Kima is that he is tarid b'tzaroi. So it's likely to assume that this is only true for real avelus, which is fresh, and the grief is very strong and intense. But the avelus yishana of a Tisha B'Av, where for better or for worse, the tzar isn't as raw, isn't as strong. And in fact, we see the Gemara calls, as we've mentioned before, that the Avelis of Tisha B'Av only Avelis Yishana. And there are kulas, which the Gemara deduces from this label that we give to the Avelis of Tisha B'Av. It would seem then that we wouldn't have the same level of Tir de Bitzaro that we find regarding a normal Avel. And it would seem reasonable to assume then that the Ptur the Gemara gives to the Avel from standing with Nevi Nasi would not apply at Tisha B'Av, since after all it's only Avelis Yishana, and the Tirda isn't as intense, so we would be Mechayev, the people on Tisha B'Av, to stand with Nei Rabo, unlike an Avel, who is Tarud and strong and intense Tsar, and cannot do the mitzvah. Here the people on Tisha B'Av are still capable of doing the mitzvah of Kibud. And he comments there's perhaps somewhat of a siyua to this conclusion from the Halacha and Hilchot Tisha B'Av and Simon Tuf Kuf Nun Dalet Tzifid Beis, where it says that if one is going on Tisha B'Av L'Kabel Pnei Rabo, then he has a heter of going through water if the way that he needs to get there includes such a trip of going through water. And it is l'char obvious, since we know that Tisha B'Av one may not, Rechitz is one of the Inuyim at Tisha B'Av, and we only give you a heter to go through water to be Mekayim a mitzvah. So it would seem apparent that when one goes through Kabbal Pnei Rabo, he is Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibud Rabo in Tisha B'Av. And it would seem then he would be fully Mechoyev in the mitzvah of Kima and Hidur for Rabo on Tisha B'Av, as the Levush's reasoning would suggest. However, the Shvus Yaakov writes, this reasoning of the Levush is very problematic and poses a big problem in the nature of Avelis. And this is something that we'd like to highlight, as this is an important point. It's the heart of what Avelis is. The Shvus Yaakov refers us there to the sugya in Sukkah and in Brachos that discuss the issue of Osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. And the Gemara there contrasts a chassan who has the status of Osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah with regard to mitzvah Kriyat Shema with an Avel. That an Avel is mechuyev in the kol mitzvah amiras b'torah and does not have the p'tur of osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. And the Gemara explains that a chassan is tarid. A chassan is distracted with the mitzvah that he has to do, the mitzvah of the be'ila rishona. And because it is tarid b'tir de mitzvah, so he acquires the status of osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. But in contrast, An Ovel, even though he's Torah with the Tzar of the Avelis, he's only Torah Tirda Derishus. He's only Torah in an optional Tirda. And Rashi writes over there, She'af al pi, in Sukkah Daf Chafei, She'af al pi shu chayiv linhog Avelis shel ne'ilo rechitza v'sicha, laharos kfod meso, eino chayiv lehitztayer. But even though the Ovel is mechuyiv to keep all the Nihugi Avelis in order to show kfod hames, but he's not mechuyiv to mitztayer. Now this Rashi says an incredible yisod in Avelis. And that is that the point of Avelis is not to cause tsar to the Avel. Now it's important to stress, Rashi does not mean that the Avel is not supposed to be mitztayer. On the contrary, it is very proper and extremely natural for the Avel to be mitztayer. That's the natural hagoshas alev, the emotion when one loses his karov, to be mitztayer, and it's something that the halacha wants a person to have. And we assume that the Avel is mitztayer, and this is perhaps the reason why the simcha of the regel and the avelus are considered to conflict, and they cannot be together, because the simcha of the regel and the tzar of the avel cannot be in the lev at the same time, and that is why that regel is mevatel avelus, as we saw at the beginning of our perek. But what Rashi means to say is that that's not the point of the mitzvahs, of the nihugim of Avelis, or the isurim of Avelis, as the case may be, that Chazal placed upon us. The person is already mitzvah. The person already has the motion, or he has the chimam, as a result of the death itself. The nihugim of Avelis are meant for a person to channel those emotions and be mefana the lev in order that he can be misbonin and his loss, take what he's supposed to, be, see what the Hashkachas Hashem was, see where he can do tshuva. And the point of it, as Rashi says, is to show Kvod HaMeis, or Kvod HaChayim, according to some Rishonim, Rashi here seems to indicate that it's Kvod HaMeis. But whatever the case may be, the point of the Nihugim is to demonstrate and exhibit Kvod HaMeis, and to open up one's heart to channel the emotions, the natural tzara that he has, into a place where he's able to see in context what Hashem wants from him, that he took his kara from him. So the tirda that the Avel has, that he's mitztayer, from the as a result of the loss of Avelis, that tirdos tirdos drushus. That's a natural reaction that, irrespective of the mitzvahs of Nihugi Avelis, a person has, and even though it's a proper thing someone should have, someone must have, and halacha assumes that he has it, but it's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah that the person is involved in is not to be mitztayer, like Rashi says, Eino chayev litztayer. The mitzvah is to do things with show kvod hames, in order that one can properly assimilate the makkah, the bad situation that Ramah Shalom has put him in, and take from there the proper conclusions. That being the case, says the Shvus Yaakov, we would ask him the Lavush, that the Lavush says that the reason that the Ovel is parted from the mitzvah of Kima Vehidur is that he's tarred b'tzaro, that he's distracted by the tzar that he has. So the Shvus Yaakov understood the Lavush meant that it's bidir alsi b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, because he's tarred in the tzar, he's unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Kima Vehidur. So the Shvus Yaakov says, we see in the sugya here that it's not true. The tirda d'rishus of an avel is not something that qualifies people also in mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So how could the Levush say that because of that, the person becomes patur from the mitzvah of Kima Vehidur? So the Shvus Yaakov instead suggests a different explanation as to why the avel is patur from the mitzvah of Kima Vehidur during his avelis. And for his reasoning, he says, perhaps the same reason would apply in Tisha B'Av. And that is, that we know that the point of the Kima is to be Kima Sheyesh Bo Hidur, to be Kima which pays honor to the Rav. And Shvus Yaakov theorizes that perhaps the Pshat in the Gemara is that an Avel, who is, as Rashi famously comments in Ksubas Davav, is Misolil Ba'ofer Karno, that he is groveling in the dirt in his tsar, that he's a person who's not capable of giving hidur, that even if the Avel would stand up for the Rav, stand up for the Nasi, this wouldn't at all impart any honor or any respect to the Nasi, because the Avel is someone who right now is depressed and down and full of tsar and yagon, so even his action as an attempt to show honor to the Rav, to the Nasi, doesn't at all impart any hidur. And that being the case, he's potter from the mitzvah of Kima. And Shvus Yaakov suggests perhaps the same thing is true for Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, everyone sits on the floor. Everyone has a modicum of Avelis, a modicum of Olol B'Ofer Karno. And even if one were to become for the Rav, it wouldn't be a Kima that could impart any Hidur. And hence, in essence, we're anusim. We're not capable of supplying the mitzvah. We're not capable of doing what the mitzvah demands of us to show honor and respect to the Rav, because we don't have it within us, even when we become to be mechabed the Rav in an ofen of kimua sheish bo hidur. And as far as the raya that he had brought from the halacha that one is holech lekabel pnei rabo, he's allowed to go through mayim and Tisha B'Av, it could be that there it's a different halacha, it's halacha of kavod rabo in general, that he's mechabel pnei rabo. That is something which does have it within it, some of kavod. But the act of standing and showing respect through kima sheish bo hidur to the Rav, that is something that one is incapable of doing at Tisha B'Av, because he is ma'olah ba'ofer karno. Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Avel Yom Rishon Oster Lecho Lecho Mishalo, that the Avel on the first day of his Avelus is prohibited from eating his own food. Now, it's worth noting that the Gemara, at least overtly, doesn't make any connection between this Isser of the Avel eating his own food and the Inyan of Sudas Avra that we encountered earlier in the Mishnah Chavdal Amabez, that the Avel is served food from his neighbors on the first day of the Avelus. And the question arises, are these halachas related? Is there a relationship between the Isser of the Avel to eat his own food, as Arsugi describes, and the Sudas Havra? And really this question opens the door as to the exact gedder and nature of the Sudas Havra, which is really beyond the scope of what we'll discuss. So we'll try to limit ourselves to this narrow question. What is the relationship? Are these halachos linked, or are they two separate halachos which are independent? Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe addresses this question explicitly, and he says that we find several instances in which, even though there appears not to be an iser for the ovel lechol lechol mishalo, that he's permitted to eat his own food, nonetheless, there still seems to be in place the mitzvah of a sudas havra. One example that Moshe brings is Shabbos. What is halacha regarding the Isra of Lecha Mishalo and Sudas Havra when the first day of Avelos is Shabbos? Now you might ask, how is this possible for the first day of Avelos to be Shabbos? We know we don't do Kfura on Shabbos, even on Day Goyim. So one simple case that we shouldn't already discuss is where the Kfura was done very late on Friday, and they only returned from the Mesek Faros during Ben HaShemashos, and the Avelim didn't have enough time to begin being Misa Abel on Friday, so Friday would be the first day. That would be one instance in which the first day of Avelos could be Shabbos. Or another simple case would be a case of a Shmua, where a person was informed of the death on Shabbos, and he hadn't known until then. So these are instances in which the first day of Avelos could be Shabbos. And the question is, what is the halacha of the Isser Lecha Lecha Mishalo on Shabbos? When is the first day? And what is the halacha of Sudas Havra on such an instance? With regard to the question of Sudas Havra on Shabbos, the Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Sadi Gimel quotes the Nemuki Yosef in Bava Basra, who says he thinks it's actually usser to deliver a Sudas Havra to an Avel on Shabbos. And the reason that Nemuk Yosef supplies is that it violates Avelos Befer Asya. To publicly deliver and bring a Suda to the Avel on the first day would constitute Avelos Befer Asya. That's the opinion of the Nemuk Yosef. The Beis Yosef takes issue with the Nemuk Yosef, and he says, "Ve'eni odea tam l'dvarav, sherei asuyim b'nei adam l'havi ma'achol mi sh'loya yachol l'hachem erev Shabbos." It's very common for people to bring food for those who couldn't have prepared food for themselves in Erev Shabbos, and they delivered it on Shabbos. Alf b'sheino avel, even though the person is an avel, and he's in need of food for some other reason, still people deliver it. Hukach lo minker d'davar shel avelsu, and therefore it's not obvious, there's no publicity of the avelus by bringing one's neighbor food. V'su d'le asra el avel atzmo shalei enig dvaran she'avel chayv l'negben b'chol avel lachem shalei v'yoson en shem tam l'asor. That which we find the iser of avel s'refiasi is for the avel to do things which would demonstrate as avelus, but for other people to do things we don't find an iser. V'chein pashtet ha'minig b'chol ha'olam l'havro sa'avel b'shabbos v'lo nishpa v'olam shum po tzepeh u'mitzavtzeh. Beis Yosef concludes that the minig that he saw in all of the places that he visited was that people do Havra on Shabbos and no one ever said a word, not like the Nemuk Yosef. So in any event, we have a machlokas in the Nemuk Yosef and Beis Yosef whether or not Havra can be delivered on Shabbos. Now, Rav Moshe reasons in the Tshuva that it's very mistaver for us to assume that there is no Isser Lechol Mishalo on Shabbos. First of all, he says, there's a mitzvah, he calls it a mitzvah daraisa, even for a person to eat on Shabbos. It's usher to be b'sa'ana on Shabbos, to fast on Shabbos. And if a person was dependent on other people giving him food, so the chazal would run the risk of a person having to fast on Shabbos. His friends might not be able to bring food, they might not know about it, or they might not have an Erev to bring them food, other problems might crop up, and there would be the risk of a person having to be Misa'ana on Shabbos if we were to ask her Lechol Mishalo. Moreover, he says that if the person becomes dependent on his neighbors for food, that Gufa would be Mefarsim the Avelis. People would now hear about the fact that the neighbor is a Kemes Avel, and he's acting as an Avel on Shabbos. Hence, concludes Ramoshe, it's clear that there's no Isser Lechol Mishalo on Shabbos, yet nonetheless, the Nimuk Yosef and the Beis Yosef debate whether or not there's Havra on Shabbos. So we see clearly that just because there is no Isser for the Lechol Mishalo, is that grounds per se for us to conclude that there's no Inyan of a Sudas Havra. Another Rav Moshe brings is from Chol HaMoed. We saw earlier in the Mishnah on Daf Chof Daled, according to Rav Rishon, and the way they learned the Mishnah, it was clear from the Mishnah there that there is an inyan of Havra, of giving Havra to the Avelim themselves on Chol HaMoed. Now, Moshe says it's definite that on Chol HaMoed there is no Isser Lechol Mishalo. However, the same way all the inyanei Avelos are nidchim because of the Simchas HaRegel, similarly, the Isser of Lechol Mishalo, in other words, there's a mitzvah to eat on Chol HaMoed, similarly, an Isser to fast, also would prohibit, not let Chazal Aser, the Avim Lechol Mishalo, and curtail his simcha that he can have on Chol HaMoed. And yet still, despite the fact that there seemingly is no Isser Lechol Mishalo on Chol HaMoed, nonetheless, there is an Inyan of Avra. So again, we see an instance where the Isser Lechol Mishalo and the Inyan of Sirus Avra are independent. However, Moshe raises a question on himself from the Lashon of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and the Rav Mibar Tanura on that Mishnah there in Chof Daled. The Lashon of the Rambam there is, Umavrim hu she'osa suda la'avelim lefi she'ha'avel osur lechol mishalo yom rishon. The Rambam seems to indicate that because the avel is osur lechol mishalo on the first day, therefore we give sudas avra, which is not like Moshe wants to conclude. However, Moshe says that we cannot take the Rambam in the most literal sense, because we know the Rambam is of the most extreme opinion, that no nihugi avelis, even Varon Shabbatzina, are knowing on the regal. And therefore it is impossible for the Rambam to have been of the opinion that the avel is asur lechol mishalo on Chol HaMoed, because even if we were to assume that the isur lechol mishalo is a Darei Shabbatzina, which is something which one might reasonably want to argue, but in the Rambam it doesn't matter, because the Rambam holds that even Varon Shabbatzina are the inyani avelos are nitchim b'nei simchas haregel. Therefore, it cannot be that the Rambam says lafisha avel asur lechol mishalo b'yom rishon, that he means literally on Chol HaMoed. That's true, because on Chol HaMoed is no way the Rambam could have maintained such an opinion. Elamai says Ramosh, we must explain the Rambam means in general that ba'alma there is an inyan of the avel asur lechol mishalo. Why is it then that there is an inyan of havra on Chol HaMoed if there is no iser of for the avel lechol mishalo on Chol HaMoed? So Ramosh explains that the point of the Havra is that the people should be around the Avel and be Menachemim. And in truth, this is what the Levush says in Siman Shinai and Ches, that the reason for Havra is that the Avel shouldn't feel like he's been abandoned and neglected, but he has people come to take care of him. And when they're there, they'll see to it that he has Nechama, and they'll be Menachemim Aidei, the serving and delivering of the meal. And the reason that Chazal Asr la'avel lechol mishalo, it says that Ramosha, kidei sheyihu acher muchrachim la'avelo v'lecha v'lishtos, u'memele yinachamuhu. In order that other people should have to be involved with the care of the avel, memele they'll be there in order to be menachemim. And therefore, the inyan of the havra is to be menachem the avel. The as a motivation to get that to people to come to be menachem the avel in his yom hamar, in the first day when he's most in pain. So hence, they asked the avel to eat his own food. But the truth is that the inyan of havra is true even when that Isser couldn't have been applied, for example, on Chol HaMoed or on Shabbos, still the Inyan of Havra exists. And Moshe says this is also the reasoning behind the other reason that we find in the Beis Yosef, in the Poskim, for the Inyan of Sudas Havra, and that is what the Beis Yosef quotes in the end of Sim Shinai and Ches, Rabbi Yerucham, said the Avel, on this day that he's lost his loved one and he's buried his relative, feels suicidal. And since he's Doeg V'Nenech HaMeso, he wants to die just like his relative, and therefore he doesn't take care of himself. He doesn't want to eat. Al kein tzivehu lechol mishal acherim. Therefore, we tell him to eat from other people. Now, the Rav Moshe is bothered that if we have someone who is in the mood not to eat, so the last thing we want to do is to tell him he can't eat his own food. Elamai Moshe says the pshat has to be that we want to get other people involved. We want to have other people to come and pick up his spirits and show him that he has what to live for, not to be in a suicidal mood. And since the people will be around in order to bring him food, so we'll have accomplished our goal of having other people care for him and be menachemim. And therefore we asked in the oven to eat his own food in order to force his neighbors and friends to come and take care of him and give him food, because he has no other food, and that's the whole Indian, is that he doesn't want to eat, and he wants to starve himself. And when they're there, they'll see to it that his spirits are lifted, and he doesn't feel like he's on his own, and that he wants to join his dead relative. And Rav Moshe says, "Memela yir lashkiyach alav sheyochal v'chein lashpiyach alav v'divrei tanchumim sheyochal." So hence, Rav Moshe concludes that really these two inyanim are separate, that even though the Indian of the Avel being asur lechem mishalo perhaps augments that which the other people will become, in the extent to which they'll become involved in the Avel's eating on the first day and be around him and be menachem, but that's not the Inyan of Avra. The Inyan of Avra is not simply to give the Avel food because he's miskain and has no food on his own to be able to eat, but because we want other people to be there for him and be menachem him, and to serving the food perhaps also as gufa and nechama. But either way, the point is to have other people there with the avel, and the Isra Lechal Mishalo simply shores that up. But really, even on days when there is no Isra Lechal Mishalo, like Rav Moshe proves, there's still an inyan of Sudas Avra. This being said, it still may be true that the inyan of Avrab has become associated with Avelis to the point where we wouldn't do an Achalamoy, and that was Factosin of Chav at the top. Chav Amun Aleph discussed the subject of Rashi as to whether or not it was appropriate to give Havra on Cholamoid, and as well we see this in Muk Yosef, he's saying that Havra does constitute Avelis for Hesia, but again, that's simply because it's associated with Avelis, but even the Iker Inyan of Avela, the Iker Inyan of Havra, rather, is to get other people involved to be Menachem the Avel. We might add one more Makor, Moshe doesn't quote this, but if you look in Rashi, in Sota, and Daf Lamed Hey, so Rashi there is discussing the Meraglim, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, and it says there that Hashem was a masik. He made the people in Eretz Canaan occupied with levayas, and there's a lot of death and a lot of burials that were there, and Hashem did a nace for them so that they shouldn't notice the meraglim who were there. So Rashi there comments that they were busy. One of the things they were busy with was being maver the avel, that the Canaanim, the goyim there in Eretz Israel, were giving a sudas havra to the avel. Rashi writes just like we know that the havra is being menachem the avel, and that's what the goyim were doing. Now, obviously, the goyim weren't knowing the iser of lechel mishalo on the first day. Alamai, we see again that the inyan of sudas havra, this idea at least of having sudas havra to menachem the avel, is universal, and in principle at least has nothing to do with the sugim ar gemara that the avel is asur lechel mishalo.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.